4 weeks, we did our At the Movies series, which was amazing. How many of y'all enjoy it? Did you enjoy that series? Incredible. And I want to share something with you that's awesome that came out of these last few weeks together. And you know, the whole point for that series was evangelistic, to reach people. And, you know, we made a decision a while back that we're going to do things that nobody else is doing to reach people that nobody else is reaching. And so, and one of the ways that we did that is through our At the Movies series. And I want to just report a couple things back to you. In the month of September through that, we had back-to-back weekends of our largest non-holiday attendance that we've ever had, and which is amazing. We also launched our third service that second weekend of September. I think we're off to a great start with it. And the greatest, most important number to our hearts, and get ready for this, because I'm just telling you, when we saw this week, we just, man, it just touched our hearts. Over the last four Sundays, we saw 61 people make decisions for Jesus, everybody. I think God deserves a hand. Amen, everybody? Man. Incredible. So I'm just telling you, my heart is full. I'm thankful and just excited about what God is doing. Well, this series is specifically, this message was actually number three on the list. It was the number three most wanted to hear message. I'm kind of reversing the order a little bit, not necessarily starting at the top, but there's a purpose for that. But nonetheless, today's topic specifically, if you already hadn't pulled out your message notes, you can do that. And at the topic, you'll see it's about stress. I'm stressed. Help. And I know nobody knows anything in here about some stress, do you? And if you haven't had some, you'll probably have some. And if you're not having it right now, you know, you've probably came out of it maybe, or somewhere along the line. But nonetheless, I know it's something that we face. I know it's something that oftentimes it feels insurmountable. But I'm telling you, God has got a plan for you. I've got to tell you something too. This whole week, my heart has just been stirred for this message, because I know this is something we all feel. I know this is something that many of us carry. And I'm believing today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're going to leave here a lot differently than the way you came in. And that's just not something cute a preacher says. This preacher's believing it today for your life. And so that some of us have come in with some stuff. Some of us have come in with some things that thinking, man, I don't know how I'm going to get it out of this. Don't know what the answer is going to be. Well, you're in the right place, because God's going to say something to you today, and I'm believing it for your life. Proverbs chapter 17 says this, verse 24, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but it's a fool that starts off in many directions. I don't want to be a fool. But Scripture says if we're going off in a bunch of different directions, we are. And so Scripture calls us to the attention of, let's aim at wise action. And so this is honestly my first opportunity to teach or talk about this subject. So I've just been chomping at the bit, because there's a lot of just stats. And if you don't know me, man, I'm a stat guy. I like to know what's happening. And so I've got some things I want to share with you before I get into the message a little bit more, that I just think will just cause us to just continue to realize, man, the importance of why we need God in every area of our life, and especially if we find ourselves in a place where we feel like there's stress and there's anxiety happening. God has a plan. Look at the person next to you and say, God's got a plan. Come on, look at the person who's your second choice and let them know too, God's got a plan. All right, let's check some stats out, and then we're going to look at his plan. These are the top causes of stress in our nation today. Just the top seven wanted to give you. The first is job pressure. These will be on the screens as well behind me if you want to see them. Second is money. Third is health. Fourth is relationships. Number five, poor nutrition. Then media overload. And then sleep deprivation. A couple other interesting statistics. 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress. Very high number. 73% regularly experience psychological symptoms caused by stress. 48% of people feel that their stress has increased over the past 5 years. Some of us are feeling that right now. 76% cited that money and work as the leading cause of their stress. 48% reported lying awake at night due to stress. 48% say stress has a negative impact on their personal and professional life. 54% who said stress caused them to fight with people close to them. Another interesting one here, $300 billion is the annual cost to employers in stress-related healthcare and missed work. That was an interesting one. Last couple here. Stress is the basic cause of 60% of all human illness and disease. 3 out of 4 doctor's visits are for stress-related ailments. Stress is now said to increase the risk of heart disease by 40%, the risk of heart attack by 25%, and the risk of stroke by 50%. You know, here's what I know, and those stats really bother me. And here's what we're finding. Stress is literally killing people, literally. But I know this, that God always has something to say for wherever we find ourselves in this journey. He's always got something in his word. You'll never be in a problem that he doesn't have an answer for. And we need to remember that for whatever I'm facing in my life, what I realize is there is an answer. I got to go to the one who holds the answer. Amen, everybody? And so I want to share some things with you this morning. And here's what I know, that there's a red flag just kind of waving in this service today. And that red flag is a flag of just warning to you and I that we need to pay very close attention to the scriptures and what is being said here today, because I'm truly believing in my heart and my spirit something is going to happen in your life. Something is going to move in your heart today, and God is going to reveal some things so that you can begin to go on this journey. Because how many know you want to be in this for the long haul? We ain't called to run a sprint. We're called to run a marathon. And so I want to be in it for the long haul. I want longevity to my life. And I believe you do too. So let's look at a few things this morning. When we're stressed, several things happen in the life that is hurried. The first one that I know is that my resistance begins to lower. And here's really just what I mean. When you find yourself overworked, overextended, and do, and all these different things, and overwhelmed, and you find yourself not resting, here's what I know. Our ability to say no to sin increases. Here's what you'll find, is when you are not rested and you're exhausted, you tend to make your worst decisions. But when you find yourself rested, you'll be able to make what? Probably some of your best decisions. It's why I caution so many people before they make life decisions. Don't do it out of feelings. Don't do it out of emotions. Take time to pray and take time to rest and pay attention to what God is saying. I love what Jesus said here in Luke 21. He said, I want you to be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, or another word is carelessness, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, look at it, will close on you suddenly like a trap. Like you didn't even see it coming, because you're on this pace of go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden, things just begin to close on you. You didn't even see it happening around you. And part of my job as your pastor is to wave this flag today and call you, not just to warn you, but call your attention to see what's really going on in your life. And let's look and see what the scripture says. Here's the other thing I know. In the midst of stress, in the midst of anxiety, and in a fast-paced life, my emotions, you can jot that down, are very inconsistent. They become dangerous. Sir, ma'am, you maybe have noticed you're acting out in anger. You're saying things that you wouldn't normally say. Can I tell you that's a symptom of a hurried, paced life? And you need to be careful. And you need to be watchful. Job said it this way, chapter 9. He said, my days, they go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. How many would agree we live in such a very high-paced, high-fast, just culture? It just, everything's moving so quickly. And, you know, I was even thinking this week, my goodness, we're in October, everybody. That means Christmas is around the corner. Glory to God. You know, we've got just a couple months of this year left. Think about how fast things go. But here's what happens when stress comes, anxiety, these different things, the hurried paced life. Man, it will rob you of joy. Do you know the enemy would love for you to just get so focused on so many things that you forget the ultimate focus of who you need to be focused on and what you need to be focused on? You'll get it later if you didn't get that. All right. So listen to the podcast. All right. But nonetheless, here's the thing. We've got to understand this is robbing people of enjoying the journey. God wants you to enjoy this life, everybody. Man, you know, I told First Church, why so serious all the time? We've got to learn. I'm going to help you with that today because I think it's important, and it's important that we see this red flag today. Here's the next thing that I noticed, too, is that my productivity suffers when there's stress and I'm always hurried. Here's the thought, and honestly, here's a lie that said that you think that by working harder, you get more done. How many have kind of heard that saying before? And the truth is, maybe you're in that place or you've tried that and you realize, man, that didn't work or it's not working. And you are getting less done by doing more. It's kind of the analogy of, or the principle of the sharpening of an axe. If you were to take an axe that's sharp and its blade is good and go at a tree, and depending on the size of the tree, you may be able to cut that bad boy down in one swing, maybe two, who knows? But how many know, if you keep trying to chop down some trees and you never get it sharpened, you're going to spend a lot of time trying to chop down trees. You got to go back and get that blade sharpened. The same thing is for our life. We've got to make sure we're sharpened in our relationship with God, and God uses people to help bring about that in our own life as well. The same principle, it's incredible, is with the tithe. It makes no sense to our minds that God will bless you more than you need with 90%. And the same principle is true right here. If you'll do less, you'll do more. I know you won't hear that preached a lot of places. Lord have mercy. Or talked about. If you do less, you'll do more. But here's the thing. It's a principle. And it's a principle of God. Let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 21 verse 5. It says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run, but hurry and scurry puts you further behind. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So taking time to do that. Proverbs 19:2, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. Am I talking to anybody in here that's ever been in a hurry and made some mistakes in the house? Happened to me yesterday. Can I confess something to you? I was getting out of my car. I was in a hurry, and I did the unthinkable. I dropped my phone. Y'all know, if you're like me, you start praying real quick. Lord, have mercy. Please don't let it be another cracked screen. And I turned that bad boy over. It was another cracked screen. Bethany told me, that's it. You get in the case. This is done. I'm done with that. All right? Enough's enough. Yes, ma'am. I'm getting a case. All right? So I learned through my mistakes. All right? Mistakes are only a failure if you don't learn from them. That's good preaching too. All right. Here's the next one. Jot it down. That I know in a hurried pace life is I start noticing my life is losing meaning. In other words, I feel as I'm trying to focus on so many things, I'm going further and further and further away from my purpose, going further from God's design for my life. Because listen to me, this will set somebody free right here. Your purpose isn't to do a lot of things. Your purpose is to do a very few things well. Somebody needs to hear that. And here's the other truth. Are you ready for this? You're not good at everything. Who the person next to you in all love and respect and say, you just aren't good at everything. Husbands and wives, easy on that one, easy, all right? And nor should you be involved in everything. Right, everybody? Can I tell you, that's why God has his plan, his destiny, his gifts for your life. Here's what I like to call it. I like to call it this way, that for every single person in here, God has a sweet spot for you. That you figure out what you're called to do and go make a difference with your life. But the problem is when we get caught doing so many different things, we get further and further away from our sweet spot and what we're supposed to be doing with our life. Amen? And so we need to pay very close attention to that. Psalm 39:6 says, we are merely moving shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. In other words, it's a meaningless life. And that's tragic. But it's part of the purpose of Elevate City Church is to help get you on point and to help you discover your purpose. Let me say this with our growth track. It's why it's so important. Whether you've just been saved or you've been saved a long time, if you've not been a part of the growth track, you need to jump in and be involved with what God is doing. And not only discovering in Growth Track where we're going as a church, because that's important to know your church's mission and vision and what it's about, but also discovering why you exist. And when you discover, listen to me very clearly, when you discover your purpose, your gifts, and what God has called you to do, here's the thing that that's going to help you with. It's going to help you to say no to the other things that you don't need to be involved in. I think there'll be a lot less frustrated Christians in the world if we had better assimilations like that in the local church throughout the world. And so we're trying to do our part as the local church to help you. And I think that keeps people sane. Amen, everybody. And you'll have a lot less frustration in your life. Here's what I also know. Lastly, is when I'm in a hurry, my relationship with God seems distant. You pray. Have you ever been in this place? Maybe you're there right now. Man, I'm praying. But man, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling, bouncing off the walls and just coming right back to me. Where are you, God? Like, God, what's happening? Let me tell you a fact about God. He's there. I promise you he's there. Here's the problem with us sometimes is that we have too many competing voices in our life and we cannot discern his. But I'm telling you, God is present and he is close to you. I'd love for you to help me read this next verse in Psalm 46, verse 10. Would you help me read this? Be still and know that I, come on, let's see, read it again. Be still and know that I, sir, ma'am, when's the last time you've just had some stillness? See how quiet it is? When's the last time you've had quiet? And you've just sat before the Lord knowing, I know things are happening, but only you are God. Can I say, enjoy stillness. Enjoy quietness. I'm telling you, it's not just good for your spirit, it's good for your soul. And you're reminded in those moments of who your God is. Ecclesiastes tells us this, verse 6, chapter 4, it's better, everybody say it's better, to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. Man, I don't like that word busy anyway. I don't like it. You know, people ask me, well, you busy, busy? I like to answer them and say, man, we're just trying to accomplish things for the Lord. You know, it's an honor to be your pastor and do what I do. And so I don't look at it as that. It's a call. It's not a job for me. And so I look at this verse of scripture and then I see that word busy and I think we get caught up in busy. Can I encourage you to write this down? This is not in your notes. This is free. All right. Busyness does not equal fruitfulness. Sometimes we think, well, how you doing? Have you ever try to ask somebody how they're doing? Yeah, man, I'm busy. No, I just try to ask how you doing. Like, you're doing okay, man, just busy. No, are you good? I mean, are you breathing? Is everything okay? You know, have you ever had that from anybody? But busyness doesn't equal fruitfulness. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in busy. I'm interested in being fruitful. God has called us not just to be a people that are faithful followers, but within following Jesus that we are fruitful. And that should be the desire of every Christian, of every person, that we are fruitful. Amen, everybody? So here's kind of the problem. So as I was praying and kind of going through this, I thought, man, Lord, I feel like everything to this point that I've shared with you is like maybe not new revelation to you. You probably know most of this. But I'm thinking there's a reason why we want help with this and why you asked for it. And so I thought, okay, God, so what is it? Because honestly, truth that is unapplied to your life is wasted. And so we hear things, but here's the problem, is there's not been application. So we need to apply some things to our life. Are you with me? And the problem, I believe, for us is in the distance of knowing versus doing is just application. No more, no less. I really believe that. So here's the thought I want you to jot down, is that the distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain that I experience. I'm going to explain what that means. There's the truth I know. Like, man, I know that I need to have more of a focused life. I know I need to slow down. But the truth I'm actually living is different. So there's a gap. So my heart today is I want to help kind of fill that gap or that distance between the two. God, listen, and here's what I know. God didn't give a bunch of solutions on this. I believe he gave one powerful one. And this isn't in your notes, but you want to make sure you get this morning. And that is this: keep the Sabbath day holy. The plan that God has for stress in your life is honoring and keeping holy the Sabbath day. The key is learning how to keep it. I love what Truett Cathy said, the founder of Chick-fil-A. He was in a place, and as he was starting his business, a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners just really discouraged him from his business plan, because his plan was to simply go 6 days on and then be off on Sunday. They said, Truett, it's never going to work. Like, if you're going to be working fast food, you've got to go 7 days a week. He said, no, I don't. He made this statement. He said, I'm not going to give into, listen to this, the pressure of making more money, but I'm going to shut it down once a week, and we're going to rest. How many know Chick-fil-A's done pretty well? How many know that business plan worked? Can I just tell you something cool about God? His systems, his ways always work. He created the heavens and the earth. He worked for six, and then he did what on the seventh? Rested. It's not just good preaching, man. It's in there. It's for your life. You got to get it. You got to apply it. He also made this statement, Truett Cathy said, I'd also like to be remembered, this is real good, as a person who lived according to their priorities. And for me, and I'm thankful for the men and women that God has used to speak into my life, that I've made a decision a long time ago. I'm not going to live my life by pressure. I'm going to live my life by principle. That's how I'm going to live my life, by principle, not by pressure. And so that's why you have to learn and know whatever it is that you believe, to stick to it and not let anybody try to knock you off that, but know what you believe and flourish in it, in Jesus' name. So the Sabbath day, listen, it's not just an hour and that's it. It's a day. Everybody say it's a day. You say, well, that's kind of old school. Kyle, I mean, this pastor, man, that's kind of Old Testament stuff. No, it's not. Let's read our Bible. Hebrews 4. Here we go. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. He worked six. He rested on the seventh. I want to share something real quick with you this morning, just a real personal story of how I learned through stress. I'm growing in this journey. Trust me, I'm far from arriving. We all have our issues working through things. A little over a year, it was well over a year, I guess now it's been, I was in a place, and I remember spending some time at home with the kids and just kind of going to the office and doing some things, but I just physically wasn't feeling well. And it went on for a week, and then going into the second week, Bethany started noticing. I mean, no, your spouse knows you like nobody else knows you. And she said, baby, what's up with you? And I was feeling dizzy a lot and just like, man, just out of sorts. It was just weird. Never felt like that. And she said, I think you need to go to the doctor. I kind of fought on it for a minute, and I submitted, all right? And I went to the doctor, and I remember they did a few tests and just trying to see what was going on. And he came back into the room with me, closed the door behind him, and just sat down next to me. He said, Kyle, he said, are you stressed? I laughed at him. I said, no, I am fine. I said, everything's cool. He said, And he just kind of leaned in and looked at me. He said, all right, let me ask you a question. I said, shoot, fire away. He said, are you sleeping well? I thought, well, I ain't going to lie to the doctor, all right? And I'm a man of God, amen, all right? So, yes, doctor, to answer your question, I'm not doing the best sleeping, but I'm fine. And he just looked at me. He said, I think you need to just look at priorities. That's my doctor. I said, okay. I mean, no, God will use anybody. And gave me a little medication, try to help with the dizziness. Of course, I ignored everything he said. And went on to experiencing more. Come on, we all got some stubbornness, don't we, in us? Lord, have mercy. And so went on. Then God brings one of my best friends in the world, one of my pastors, Aaron Jane, with us. Y'all know him, one of our overseers. And he came in and spent 4 days with me and was just kind of looking at my schedule and stuff. But what he was more interested at was my Sabbath day, my day of rest. And he was like, what's going on here with this? I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I noticed you just got some emails going out and responded to some call. He said, what are you doing? I said, it's not a big deal. I said, I'm fine. I said, just a little stuff. No, but he said, no. You're in sin. I said, what? He said, you are not honoring the Sabbath in your life, and you need to repent. Oh, y'all, I'm just telling you. Broke me, told me, all right? God used him. You name it. Like, God sometimes got to talk to you straight up. You know what I mean? And I broke, and I cried like a baby. And I said, you're right. I'm not honoring the Sabbath, and some things got to change. He said, you betcha. So that's why I'm in your life. And so I'm happy to report I'm well. I'm doing good, and I'm doing just that. All right, I listened to him, and then I applied. Amen? And so I want to say all that to say is the next few things I want to share with you for the next couple of minutes before I close are things that, man, I feel like help me. So the things I'm sharing, as it's helped me, I pray it helps you. Okay? Is that cool? Can we just be real? So the Sabbath day, we hear, okay, we need to take a Sabbath, but I want to give you a picture of actually what it looks like. You know, the Jewish people believe this, I believe this, that every time you Sabbath, you declare to God that more gets done when I don't do everything I know how to do. Because my strength doesn't come from me, it comes from you. And so every time you don't do that, you are telling God, I've got this, this all happens because of me, and I don't know about you, but that's not something I want to communicate to God. And so what does your Sabbath look like? I want to teach you this here this morning. Part of your Sabbath ought to be coming to his house right here at Elevate City Church and serving and worshiping him and honoring him and declaring, holy, holy is the Lord, and giving him, because he's first in your life, he ought to be the first of your week. And that's what that's declaring, everybody. Then I want to give you a few other things outside of that that's going to support what your Sabbath looks like. You ready? Jot this down, because each one is a declaration. Notice I started this with I will. So the first one is I will rest my body. Listen, 5-hour energy ain't got nothing on Jesus and his strength and his power and his rest for your life. Can somebody say a good amen? Amen. Ain't got nothing on it. So let me pastor you for a minute. All right, let me pastor you. Here's my recommendation for some of you. This is what you need to do today. You need to cancel the rest of your afternoon plans. Listen to me. And you need to go take a nap. Listen to me. Then get up from that nap, sir. Go take the hand of your wife. Put it together like this. This is holding hands. Your hand fits in hers. That's what that looks like. All right? And then go on a walk. And you might have to pick her up because it's been 30 years and we got to get better than that, guys, all right? But go on a walk, enjoy your time. Then come back home and order you a pizza and just relax a little bit. If pizza ain't healthy enough for you, then baby, find something healthy and just rest and enjoy. Y'all getting this today, all right? Psalm 127 says this, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Are you sleeping enough? Because here's, when I was praying, this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit told me. There's many of you that are struggling resting right now. And it's not the heart of God. Some of you haven't slept in days, some weeks, maybe months. But I felt by the Spirit of Almighty God that God's going to do something today in some of you. Your sleep's about getting ready to turn for the good. You're about to rest better. Listen, you need to receive what I'm saying. It's about to change. You're about to rest better and be more refreshed than you've ever been, because what God's saying here today is for you. It's for your spirit. It's for your family. And we need to get a hold of what God is saying today. So in the name of Jesus, I pray right now over every person, and I declare there comes a rest for the people of God. And I declare out of your word, Lord, you said you will grant sleep to us. And so for those that are struggling, that have been distracted, God, maybe even tormented, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that to stop, and I declare rest to come. I declare over your mind to be as the mind of Christ, and that tonight begins a different night of sleep. This week begins a different week of sleep over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Father, I declare that right now over your people, and everybody said a good amen. Amen. I believe it. Here's the second thing you got to do is replenish your soul. If I notice my emotions are out of whack, and I'm saying and I'm acting, doing things I know I shouldn't, you got to replenish yourself. Jot this down. First of all, with quietness. With quietness. I value this so much in my life. Quietness. There's usually three things I'm thinking about in the midst of my quietness as I'm talking with the Lord, reading His Word. Get the Word in you every day, guys. Get on the Bible app. Download the 1-year Bible. Get Scripture in you. Listen, I'm telling you, let it be a way of life, not just a Sunday thing. But three things I think about. First of all, I ask myself, man, how am I doing with my family? Am I ministering and taking good care of my wife and my kids? Second thing I look at is, man, am I doing a good job caring for the church? And then third, I ask myself, am I making a difference with my life? Psalm 23 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. Come on, He's leading you beside quiet waters. Man, I love the sound of water. He restores my soul. He restores your emotions. He restores your mind. Here's the other thing you need to do to replenish your soul is with enjoyment. Find out what you like to do that's fun. When's the last time you had you some fun? I'm being so serious. When's the last time you just did something you enjoy doing and going to have fun? Some of you don't have fun enough. Go have fun. You know, for me, on my Sabbath day is Monday. And I like to be outside sometimes. Sometimes I like to take the kids to the playground. Sometimes Dad just likes to go to the bookstore. That's fun for me. Sometimes it's sports related. I'm a sports geek. All right, I love it. But what's fun for you? You know, so mine is my Sabbath day's Monday. And, you know, Lionel Richie, he wasn't a pastor. So when he wrote that song, "It's easy like Sunday morning." It's for me, it's easy like Monday morning. Now, what's that look like for you? What's it look like for you? You need to have fun. You know, have you ever seen the words, do you know the word stress? Help me out, guys. Flipped around is desserts. So some of y'all need a day after lunch. Pastor Kyle's giving you permission. Go get you an ice cream cone. Dip that bad boy in a little chocolate just for today. All right, have you one. All right. Come on. Why so serious all the time? I'm serious. Like, you know, we're in a time that I think, I'm just not tripping with everything going on in this nation. There's such a peace in my heart about what God's doing and His plan. Ain't got me tripping, y'all. I ain't losing sleep over none of that. Because God is in charge. He knows exactly what's going on. And so we got trust in it. So in the midst of it, we're going to enjoy. That's why I like that we have laughter in the church. How many know you should laugh a little bit in the church? Amen, everybody? Amen. My goodness. That's why Scripture says, a cheerful heart in Proverbs is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And then here's the other way to replenish your soul is with people. And I know what some of you are thinking. That causes me the stress. But listen to me. If that's the case, you got the wrong people around you. You got the wrong people in your life if that's the case. And you need to get people in your life that love you, that got your back, that believe in you. When you're down, they're there to help pick you up and speak life into you. That's who you need in your life. You need a small group. Get in a group. I'm telling you, get in a group. It's life-changing. We're seeing people, new friendships and relationships, because you can't get all that on a Sunday morning. You got to go and discover relationships, and that's what's going on in our small groups. Remember, the Bible says, I'm a fool if I'm going off in many directions. I'm a fool if I don't have people in my life. Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Last one, number three, is I will refocus my spirit. And so this is what I want to do for the next minute or two. I don't want nobody moving around, if you would, please. I just want you just right there where you're at. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to look at this verse I'm going to share. But this last verse, I want to pray this over you. I just want to speak the word over you. Will you let me do that today? So however you want to receive that today, I want to speak this. Psalm 92, it says, look at this. It's a psalm. It's a song for the Sabbath day. So I'm going to pray this over you. For the Sabbath day, it's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name. O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. The horn is the strongest part of an ox. So God, right now, I thank you for strength in your people. I speak it right now to overwhelm you. I speak the peace of God over your heart, your mind, and your spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Fine oils have been poured upon me. Father, I thank you for just the refreshing of your spirit right now. We receive it. We receive the strength. We receive the grace. It's not by works. Father, through faith and by grace, we're saved. So God, I pray the grace of Almighty God to overwhelm every single one of us in this room. The righteous will flourish. You're going to flourish like a palm tree. You will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord, and you're going to flourish in the courts of our God. I declare that what God has called you to, that sweet spot, you're going to flourish in that. And that, Father, I thank you for helping us to make the decisions we need to. So, Father, let your word now produce wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus so that we can flourish and go far, and they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. And Father, I declare that over every single one of us, supernatural peace right now, calmness to anxiety and to stress in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you're moving right now, right now. And God, I speak this word of life over us this morning in Jesus' name. And God, we love you. We need you. We need you. So, Father, I thank you for your peace, supernatural strength, wisdom to come upon every person. Come on, if you already haven't, just if you would, just close your eyes, bow your head, just right where you're at for a moment. If you're here right now and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you this opportunity before we leave this place today. Some of us are out of sorts. We're chasing a bunch of things because we're not focused on the one who matters that's going to help us to prioritize. And that's Jesus. Maybe you don't know, maybe you're far from God or this is totally new. I'm just telling you, he loves you. He died for you. He rose again. We serve a God that's alive and well. If you're in a place you need Jesus, need to make him Lord of your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a second. And then we're all going to pray together. Maybe you were running with God at one point, but you got tripped up somewhere along the way. It doesn't matter how. It's time to quit looking back. It's time to focus on this decision right here today and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come on, all over this room, I want you to be real honest. Forget about who's sitting around you. On the count of three, if you say, man, Kyle, that is me, I want you to lift your hand unashamed where you're at. Come on, 1, 2, 3. Just all over this place, say, man, that's me. That's me. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of you. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Got you. Got you. Proud of you. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's pray this prayer. All of us together. Join me, will you? Jesus, I give you my life. All that I am, I give to you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today's a new day for me. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. I'm not going back. In Jesus' name. And let me just pray this prayer. Father, I thank you. Let this word go deep within our heart. Let it produce great application. Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. God, for many of us, when we leave this place, let it be like a breath of fresh air. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. Amen. Can we give Jesus a great big hand? Come on, a lot of people make decisions, but come on, I believe God.